You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
We are teaching on the name of Jesus. We started last week teaching on the name above every name, and how that we went through those scriptures in Hebrews 1 and Philippians 2 and Ephesians 1, where it talks about Jesus' name as far as authority, as far as position is concerned. It is above every name. Hallelujah. There's no angel that has a name like Jesus. He has a more excellent name than all of them. And the Bible tells us that God gave him a name above every name, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow to Jesus. And then Ephesians, the first chapter, where it talks about that prayer, the awesome prayer that Paul prays, starting the 17th verse, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, the riches, the glory of his inheritance in the saint, what is his exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Wow, it's powerful stuff. Jesus' name is above every name. The devil hates it. The world tries to denigrate it and make it a cuss word. People use it when they stump their toe or when something bad happens. But see, that's just because they want to shame it. They want to weaken it. But for us who know him, no, I'll tell you what, you can't weaken it. It represents Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. At that name, demons tremble. At that name, sickness goes. At that name, darkness leaves and light comes. Hallelujah. Because that name, our prayers get answered. When we call on God in Jesus' name, heaven pays attention. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's precious to us, vile to the world, but it's precious to us because we as believers know what it means. It represents him. It's his name, the conqueror, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So that name is above every name. And there's nothing you'll ever experience in life or run across in life that doesn't have a name. I don't care what it is. If depression's a name. Do you know that? Cancer's a name. Are you out there? Poverty is a name. Fear's a name. I mean, whatever it is bothering you, as soon as you talk about it, you've named it. And there is a name above every name. That name is Jesus. That's why this name is, see, that's why prayer is answered and why we have a right to know that our prayers are answered. Because we're not praying in our name, we're praying in his name. And we've been given the right to use that name, which is what I want to talk about today. This name, Jesus, has been bestowed upon us. It has been given to us. It has been handed over to us like a blank check. The church has, and the church alone, has the right to use the name of Jesus. The world doesn't have the right to use it. But the church does. And the reason being is we have been birthed into this body of Christ. We have been married into this thing called Christianity. And we have taken on another name. And we are now eternally Jesus' people. And just as when Brenda married me, took on my last name and changed hers, you and I have changed ours. And we no longer ever, or I hope you don't, we no longer pray in our name. We pray in his name. Hello. I mean, we sign off that prayer in Jesus' name. Just like you'd sign off a check in the name of who you married. I'm married to Jesus. How about you? You know, that's not wrong to say that. See, I'm not a woman. Stay with me. But in a picture, I'm married to Jesus. And he is my head. And he is over me. And I have taken on his name, and now because of my submission to him and accepting him and receiving him, I have the right to carry his name. I bear his name. That's what the scripture says about Paul. Paul said, in fact, he had a vision. Jesus appeared to him, and he told him, he said, you will bear my name to the Gentiles. You will carry my name. And that name is what we carry. We carry the name Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. And we pray in that name. And this is what you see in the Bible. When you see miracles, you see signs, you see wonders. You see the power of Jesus' name in action. Now, often we get all mixed up, and we're hero worshipers. You know, we're American Idol and all that, you know. And we like to really just lift up Peter and Paul, and, you know, James and John. Peter and Paul, we love them all. But they weren't any different than you and I. Stay with me. They were no different. They had their faults. They had their flaws. God didn't pick them out because they were great people. He just picked them out because he picked them out. And I don't want to pop your bubble, but he didn't pick you out because you were all that great either. He's picked you out because he loved you. And he can use anybody if you'll just believe him, if you'll just trust him. That's good. That actually is a good thing when you think about it. Because that means even with all my faults and flaws and all my things I'm working on, God still loves me and I still have the right to use his name. Hallelujah. Amen. He gave me that name and I can pray in it and I can believe when I pray that God hears me when I pray. And I'm going to get answers when I pray. Amen. But it says here, this is interesting, to kind of get you up to date. What happened was that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. And they passed by this gate called Beautiful. And there was a man lame, and he was asking alms, gifts from the poor, you know. And it says he was asking alms, and Peter looked on him. This is in the third chapter. Now listen, this is really good, because he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." King James says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by his right hand and pulled him up, and immediately his ankles received strength. He stood up on his feet. He leaped and danced and shouted and praised God. And everybody came running around. He was on Solomon's porch by this time. And an amazing thing took place there. And when that happened, the Pharisees, Sadducees, didn't like it. And so they abducted Peter and John and put them in court, and we're going to put them on trial here for what they were doing. And they wanted to know, wow, are y'all ready for this? Y'all in the fourth chapter. It says in the fifth verse, "Came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. When they had set them," Peter and John, "in their midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name you have done this?'" That's interesting. Good question. We should be able to answer that question. You know, some people will tell you, some church will say, well, they did it because they were apostles. Now, that's not what the Scripture says. But some people say, well, they were able to do that because they were the great apostles, the Holy Twelve, you know. But Peter answered the question. I don't know why we try to answer it, because Peter already answered it. Are you out there? And I figured Peter ought to know more about what he did than we do. Wouldn't you think? And notice what he says here. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." Ooh, hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Are you out there? "Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed." Everybody say, good deed. Healing is a good deed. I don't know where you get the idea that God wants you sick. God doesn't want you sick. If you've ever been sick, you know it's not good. Are you out there? So it says, "We are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well." Pretty plain. "Let it be known to you all," proving he was from Texas, "and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," did y'all catch that? "Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands for you whole." Hallelujah, somebody. So he said plainly that it was the name of Jesus on his lips that caused that man to be healed. And then he goes on and he says, 12th verse, "Nor is there salvation in any other," no other name you can call on. Call on Buddha, call on Muhammad, call on whoever you want to. Come on, call on Jiminy Cricket, wouldn't matter. There's no salvation. There is not salvation, and nor is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. Everybody say given. Now see what happens here, and what he's saying here is that the name of Jesus has been given to us. And the reason the name has been given to us is that we might be saved. Isn't that right? Think about the scriptures about salvation. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Wow. Pretty plain, isn't it? the name of the Lord. There's salvation in that name. You know, there's an old song we used to sing in Holy Ghost circles, you know, Holy Ghost churches, is Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. You remember that song? Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. And then you get real animated. You know, back then they dialed numbers. Go ahead and call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Go ahead and call him up. Call him up. Y'all remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Okay. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. See, Jesus, the name Jesus, when you call on Jesus, there's healing. Hallelujah. There's salvation. There's deliverance. And here's the deal. He has given us that name so that we could be saved. He's given us that name so we could be healed. He's given us that name so we could have power over the devil. Hallelujah. So we could drive the darkness back. So we could tell the depression, go. We've been given a name that's above every name. And the power in that name caused that man to be healed. And there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we might be saved, delivered, healed, set free. What in the world are we doing not using that name when it has been so freely given to us? Why are we not using it more? Why are we not praying more and believing more and saying in Jesus' name no to the devil? Why are we putting up with so much? Wow. Don't have to. Shouldn't. We've been given a name above every name. And not just giving it to, you know, to help us in our time of need. He actually gives us a responsibility to use it. He wants us to use it. Hallelujah. So Peter made it plain. He said, there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. You want to know what power, what name we used to get this man healed? The name's Jesus. That's the name we used. And if you go back over there, and I quoted it, third chapter where the incident took place. Let's look at it again. Third chapter, Acts 3. Hallelujah. Thank God for the rain. Y'all hear the rain coming down? Hallelujah. Need rain. Says that third chapter, first verse. Now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Everybody say carried. Carried him because he couldn't walk. Now think about this. Jesus had been through this gate many a time. That man had been there every time Jesus went through there. See, everybody didn't get healed that was around Jesus. But everybody that called on Jesus got healed. Everybody that asked him to be healed, got healed. We know that because we have records of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody that that was determined to get him, get his their healing, got healed. But there are a lot of people that, you know, that weren't believing. They weren't really calling out and crying out for it and so on and so forth. And here was a man, they've been putting him daily by this gate. So he'd been around. He'd been there when Jesus came through. But evidently he never called out for healing. Evidently he never believed. But here's, things have changed now. Certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, in whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, "Look at us. Look at us." John and Peter looked at him and said, look at us. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." Y'all see that? "But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, you know, I often thought, you know, when I read this, well, I guess what he's saying, I don't have silver and gold, but I got healing. But no, actually what he's saying is, I don't have silver and gold, but I got the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I have the name of Jesus. You say, "How you know that?" Well, we just read over the fourth chapter. We explained it. That name was given to men. That name was how I did what I did. The power or the name I operated by, be it known to you and everybody in Israel, by the name of Jesus, this man stands whole. Now think about it. You say, "Well, I'm not Peter and I'm not Paul and I'm not John and I'm not any of those apostles." Yeah, but you have the name. They have. Peter wasn't Jesus, but he had his name. Well, I'm not Jesus. Well, no, I'm not. I'm not Jesus. So who died and put you in charge? Jesus died and put me in charge. Are you out there? I'm not Jesus, but I have his name. Are you out there? And so when I pray, it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with me. I don't want to get tickled. I start coughing. But it doesn't have a whole lot to do with me. It has a whole lot to do with that name. And do I have the right to use it? Well, yes, I do have the right to use it. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Brenda can go anywhere she wants to and use the name Williams. She's married to me. She has a right. She's not me. We're a lot different. Thank God. All right, man, I wouldn't want to marry me. But we're a lot different. But you know what? She has the use of my name. She has the right to my name. She uses it all the time. At Kohl's, Target, JCPenney. The list is endless. My name. She uses my name. And I'm not even there. But she has the right to do it. Now, you can go use my name, won't work. But she has a right to it. And what she has a right to is everything behind that name. Now, as far as Jesus is concerned, no, Jesus is not there. That wasn't Jesus there, personally healing that man, but it was Jesus' power through the name that he conferred upon Peter that healed that man. Just like when you pray for someone to be healed, you're not healing them, but the name of Jesus, the power behind that name, Jesus moves and flows through you because he's authorized you and given you that name to use. In fact, if you go on with the story here, after they all got, they're all amazed at this, and what on third chapter now, and they just couldn't believe what was happening. 12th verse, third chapter, 12th verse. So when Peter saw it, all this, everybody running around greatly amazed. Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk?" Like we're special. Oh, that was Peter. Ooh. Oh, that was Oral Roberts. Oh, that was Kenneth Hagin. Ooh, that was Billy Graham. Well, thank God for these men. Thank God. I have the utmost respect for them and you and all of us. But I'll tell you what, we do what we do by the power of the name of Jesus, not by something inherently in us. Come on. Are you out there? And he wanted to make sure they didn't start idol worshiping and hero worshiping, and we do that. And he wanted to point to who did it and let them know quickly it wasn't him. And yet we've turned it into that, hadn't we? We've almost turned this into an apostle worship deal, where, the apostles, the 12 apostles, they could do that, but we're not Peter. I'm not Paul. And then we'll go far and say, "Well, I'm not Jesus." Well, no, I'm not Jesus, but I do have his name. Wow. So he says this. He says, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or look so intently on us as though by our own power, godliness, we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, asked for a murder to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead," hallelujah, somebody, "of which we are witnesses. And his name," 16th verse, "his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." No, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. And it was his name on my lips. It was his name, through faith in his name, that made this man whole. Now, you and I, my brother and sister, have the name of Jesus. Are you with me? We have it to pray with. We have it to come against the devil with, if that's the case. We have it to call on in the time of trouble. And sometimes you don't have time to go in intercessory prayer. When Peter was sinking out there in the water, he didn't go into a long prayer. He just said, "Jesus, help me." I've been there. I've been in situations where I just got Jesus out. But that's enough. Are you with me? I remember one time I was working on a construction job in way down south of Houston. Monsanto was the plant that I was working in, down toward Angleton and in Freeport, that area. And I was up on a big forklift. Back then, you know, I worked on industrial cooling towers, and they were framed with heavy wood, you know, 4x4s and 2x6s and 2x8s, and we bolted everything together, and we went from job to job to job. I did that for several years. But I had gotten saved, and I was working on this job, and I was on top of a stack of lumber on top of a forklift, a big forklift with wheels this big, you know, that goes way up, and then it slides out, and the thing would go 50 feet, you know, not like a little forklift that we've got. But we had a load of lumber on top of it, and I was standing on top of the load, passing it over to people in the tower, and they were taking the wood. It's all numbered, you know, and so they were just taking them. I was putting the level of wood there, and it wasn't stacked right, and we didn't know that, and so while I was passing it this way, the load broke in the middle. The forks were holding it, and there were pieces this way it stopped, which wasn't the way to stack it. You know, you need pieces going across the forks. So when I got down to that part, the weight of it just made the load go like that. And I was up in the air, way up in the air. Are you with me? Nowhere to go and nothing to grab a hold of because I'm on top of the load. And so when it started to go, I realized I'm in trouble. And I remember swinging around, tried to grab the carriage because it had a little carriage on the top where, you know, the forks were. And I missed it. It wasn't there. And I thought, I'm going down. It's called gravity, you know. And I couldn't, I was so disoriented by that point because you don't, a free fall, you're really disoriented. You don't know a whole lot. But I tell you what, I was a Christian. I'd gotten saved. And I'd been going to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was my pastor. And I'd heard about the name of Jesus. And all I remember was saying Jesus. I remember that distinctly. Didn't have time to say, Lord, now I come to you. And well, by that time I'd hit the ground already, you know. So I said, Jesus. And I wrapped myself up. I grabbed my knees because I didn't know where I was going. I was thinking about those big, heavy forks. They're huge, you know. Man, if I hit one of those, you know, what's going to happen? And then the next hit, you hit the ground and, you know, so far up. Next thing I know, I was on the ground. On my back, and I didn't have any breath left. I was out of breath. Just knocked the breath out of me when I hit my back. And I got up, and I was fine. I had one little mark on my leg there. I went into the construction shack and talked to the superintendent for a while. And he couldn't believe I was just fine. I said, I'm fine. I can go back to work. So I went back to work. Years later, I was on another job, and a guy was telling me. He said, you know, I never told you this. He said, but I was taking the lumber from you. I'd seen him on that one job, and I hadn't seen him in years. He said, it's the most amazing thing. He said, I saw you reach around to grab that carriage, and it wasn't there. And you balled up in a ball, and I saw all the lumber go this way, and I saw you go right down the middle between those forks and go straight down and landed on top of everything. He said, that was the most amazing thing. I never seen anything like that. Well, that was the Lord did that. And all I had time to say was Jesus, but the power in that name saved me. I know that. I mean, I probably had a broken bone or something. Come on. Might have hit my head on it. There's so many things could have happened. And I wasn't planning all that. I had no time to plan. I was totally disoriented. I didn't know where I was. You're in a free fall. But I had balled up, and I fell right between the forks. It threw me up even higher, and then I came down on top of everything. Just perfect. Knocked the breath out of me. But I know about the power of the name of Jesus. And when your knees are knocking and when your lips quivering, just say Jesus. If that's all you can get out, I'll tell you, there's power in that name. Remember another time I was working on a construction job and I was driving by myself. I was delivering something to it. It was in Sweeney, Texas, way back in, it was south of Houston also. And I was going down a two-lane road that had no shoulders on it. That country down there is just, it's flat and a lot of bayous. And they call it the bayou because it come by your house. And I was going down this two-lane road, and I saw a car in front of me. I was on my way to a job, a construction job there, and I saw a car in front of me, and they lost it. The car lost it and turned sideways and was coming at me, and I was going about 60 or 70. They were going about 60 or 70, and there were no shoulders. They just dropped off like that, you know. And there was nowhere to go. I had nowhere to go. And I distinctly remember saying, grabbed that wheel. I was a Christian. I'd been going to Lakewood Church, and John Osteen was my pastor. I grabbed that steering wheel, and I said, Jesus is loud. I said, Jesus, as loud as I could say it. Jesus! And the next instant, the car was gone, and it was in my rearview mirror. I'm telling the truth. God's my witness. I looked in my rearview mirror, and that car was sideways, still sideways, in my rearview mirror. And there was a grocery store way back behind me that I had passed with the driveway, and that car had somehow got control and pulled off in that driveway, and I could still see in my rearview mirror, and there was four or five guys in there, and they jumped out. I could see them in my rearview mirror, still see them, running out to the road and looking down the road. I can't imagine what's going through their mind. I knew what happened. They probably didn't. They probably think, what just happened? Somehow that thing just jumped me. You don't go through life trying those kinds of things. Those are just deliverances that happen when you hadn't planned it that way. You don't want to live from miracle to miracle every day. It's not a way to live. It's bad on your heart. But if you need one, you ought to know you can get one. Amen? I don't want to live on a miracle every day. I'd like to get ahead sometime. I'd like to not need to be forgiven. I'd like to live holy. I'd like to walk in health and not just need to get healed. Are you with me? But I like the fact that if I need a miracle, I got this name Jesus that I can call on. I can get one if I need one. Amen? Hallelujah. And you're never alone, and you're never without help, and you're never without hope with that name. But you got to start using it. That's what they did here. Amen? Think about this. You know, these examples, and I use this Brenda as an example, but there's several circumstances or situations where you use other people's name. First, obviously, is marriage. We've talked about that. Ephesians 5th chapter talks about it in detail. When you marry somebody, you take on their name. Brenda was a Tire. Her last name was Tire. Brenda Maurice Tire. And she married me, and now she's Brenda Maurice Tire Williams. Her last name's Williams. Has been for 40 years, going on 41. Been the best years of her life. But anyway, best years of my life, that's for sure. I didn't deserve Brenda. I tell you, I still to this day, even though I was not saved when I married Brenda, I was lost, I was in jails, drugs, I was just messed up. To this day, I have no idea why Brenda married me. I do not know why she liked me or saw anything in me, because she was always such a good girl. She loved God. She was a Christian even back then. She has so much, when we get to heaven, she has so much, gets so much credit for me getting saved, because she prayed for me, told me about the Lord. I got her to be quiet. I told her I didn't want to hear it. I mean, at that time, I didn't believe in Jesus, didn't believe in God. I was atheist, you know. And she'd tell me about Jesus, and I said, you know what, honey, that's fine. That's okay. You believe in Jesus. You believe whatever you want to. I don't believe that, and I really don't want to hear it. And so she quit preaching to me, but she prayed for me. And she started going to church again later, you know. And so she was always stable and steady, and I was always in a new world every day. You know, and you see that. You really do see that. You don't have to preach to your husband. I tell you, you need to live for God, and they can't get away from that. So my hats off to Brenda. But marriage changed her eventually for the better, but it didn't. It was tough going first few years. But her name changed. And so we have joint ownership. Now she uses my name and all the things, my bank account's hers, and access to all that's behind my name. Hallelujah. Another way is business. Anybody work in a business? Anybody work in a business where you might buy or sell or anything in that business? I know I did for a while. I worked in Trinity Produce on the market in Dallas. I worked for about 3 years for Bud Harding, and the name of the company was Trinity Produce. I was in sales, and I would sit at the desk, and I would get on the phone, and I would fill up trucks and trains with Idaho potatoes from Idaho and BC Canada apples from Canada and oranges from California. And I just talk to people all day long and just fill up trucks and fill them up with lettuce, you know, and get them from all over the United States and just order stuff all day long. And they'd say, how big order do you want? Well, I want two trucks of this, and I want a box car of Idaho potatoes coming in. It takes 10 days for that to come in. And I was just ordering stuff all day long. You know, they never checked my bank account. They never did. And I didn't. I never backed off. I never said, well, I don't know if I can really. I wish I could. I hope I. I mean, can you really put that in there and bring it? Can we I mean, will you do that for me? And I never asked him. I just said, this is what I want. I'm Michael Williams. This is Trinity Produce, and I'm ordering this. See, I was operating under the name of Trinity Produce. Are you with me? And nobody checked my bank account. I was using the name that I was authorized to use. And it didn't have a thing to do with my financial status. It had nothing to do with whether I had money in the bank or not. It had everything to do with that company and whether I was authorized by the company. That's what we're talking about here. You say, well, I just don't feel worthy to lay hands on that person to be healed. Well, truth be known, you're not. You're just a slug like one of us. But you've been born again. You've been saved. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you're using his name. You're not using yours. And the devil doesn't ask you if you got it. He's going to make sure Jesus got it if you believe in that name. Amen? Another way is power of attorney. You ever heard of power of attorney? That's when someone, you know, either is dying or they're moving, say, to another country and they have a business. They want to turn everything over to someone to continue the business, or a power of attorney where maybe your parents are getting older and not able to handle their finances, and they sign over the finances to you, and you're able to write checks on their account and handle their finances. You're not them, but you have the right to use it. Power of attorney. That's kind of what we got. When Jesus left, he gave us the power of attorney. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. He sent us with his name. Another way would be ambassadors do that. Ambassadors go and represent the United States. They go all around the world, and we have embassies in different countries, and there's ambassadors there that represent the United States of America. They're not the United States of America, but they're authorized by the United States to represent policy, to talk about what we'll do and won't do. And you know what? You and I are ambassadors for Christ. Think about it. We make such a big deal of it. You know, I don't know if I got the faith. What? Oh, come on, man. We just believe in God here. We're not talking about us. We're talking about him. We got a name that devils tremble at. We got a name that darkness flees at. We got a name that will bring healing and health and a cure. Praise God. We got a name that will bring light for darkness, that will turn things around. That name is Jesus. And if anybody has a right to use it, you do. And I do. And it's got nothing to do with how good you are or how bad you are or what you got or don't have. Silver and gold you may not have, but you do have the name of Jesus. Amen? So use it. When you pray, pray that way. You work for Jesus and company. And if you don't have a right to use the name, nobody does. Amen. You are a Christian called by his name. You're married to Jesus. If you don't have a right to use the name, nobody does. Come on, we got this name. Let's use this name. Let's pray this name. Let's see some miracles. Let's see some signs. Let's see some wonders. Let's put the devil on a run where he needs to be. Amen? And start seeing the glory of God in our lives again. Hallelujah.